Good evening, everyone, for anybody who's left. Are you tired of waiting because Seth put us on hold or something? This is Veronica Entwistle. I'm doing my blame routine tonight. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to Radiance by Design. That's what you are, and that's what I am. Sometimes our design is subconscious or karmic or lineage. I don't know. Anyway, I missed last week because my father is very close to passing, making his transition, and I really appreciate those of you who, and I'm sure others felt it because I felt it from you, but several of you emailed me and sent me condolences. I guess Seth said something and so on. Anyway, what we want to talk about tonight is a number of things, and I will sort of mention grief and emotions that we carry with us, but the thing that's really, I won't go into my father and all of that. It's very, very dear to my heart and his too, I'm sure. But what I'd like to talk about is grief and emotions and really being who you are. I think so many times when people are transitioning, or at least so many times I think of this in my work as an intuitive or as my work as a human being, a dicotyledon, a human being who's actually trying to realize herself before she leaves this planet. I often think that the only thing we really get to that's important is love, and also of maybe love is the same or is part of the same thing, being who we really are. And that sounds so simple, but boy, oh boy, isn't it a challenge? How many ways we're impacted by the thoughts and feelings that are flitting around in the collective of our species, by the number of influences that come from our relationships, our chakras carrying all kinds of information that came from past experiences or maybe even future dreams. It's very, very confusing sometimes in the body mind of a person. We're just like, I often say this, that they talk about how whales hold all of the history of humanity or our world, and I kind of laugh and go, we kind of do too. Maybe it's different and theirs is more elegant than ours is, but we are still holding a tremendous amount of influence, tremendous amount of reaction, and we have this dharma, this precious, precious drive that says, what am I born for? I'm here to do something. I'm here to express something, maybe not do something. But the actual expression of who you really are, I believe, is what we're here for. And also of love, which is the glue of transcendence that seems to hold the entire universe in some kind of expanding state. That's my belief, and my heart says it's so. So what's going on with you tonight? And tonight, on August the 11th, we're going to be talking to Deb O'Connor, our astrology wizard, our wizardess. She's going to be talking to us at 7:30, and she's going to talk about the new moon, or the full moon that's coming up on the weekend, the moon in Aquarius, which is apparently having an influence on our, or the radiance and reflections include our wanting to move into more of a community consciousness. And I want to say that in this whole global economic stuff and the shift, and all that we're learning about in the dissembling of world systems, they are kind of representative of the dissembling of old systems of identity in ourselves as well. And the movement is toward community consciousness for all of us, no matter what the moon is doing. But apparently this moon is really amping up that community consciousness. Now, what do you bring to the community? What do I bring to the community? When you're in any kind of a group, what you want to be bringing is your contribution. What is your special contribution? And of course, you can bring in many levels. You can bring in a box of cookies. You can bring in a lot of money. You can bring in a hammer and some nails and some boards. But really, I think the greatest gift that we can bring to one another is our real nature, our true self, our ability to release all kinds of reactiveness dissonant with our beingness, and come to terms with who we really are and live that scenario. I think that's what we're going to keep talking about tonight. And, of course, this is a call-in show. A lot of you know that. So I'm hoping that right after the meditation, and just before Deb calls in with her astrological report, some of you will start calling in, and we can do some energy work with my guides and angels. We can do energy work on you and on anybody who's got related issues that can also help you. It can help pull out reactions, release those reactions, and help you find and found a much deeper level of your true nature. I love that part of my work. It's very exciting. So let's do our meditation. One of the reasons I love to do the meditation at the beginning of all my shows is because it puts us into community consciousness, doesn't it? It's a vibrational community. So as we all do our meditation together, we're not entirely in sync, but it does pull us together in sync, doing releasing together and doing expansion together and doing conscious intention together. Yeah, it makes a difference. We belong to one another. So close your eyes unless you're riding in a unicycle on the edge of a cliff. Take a few deep breaths. Now above your head, maybe 2 miles, create a golden ball, a beautiful golden ball. And now below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball, a filament of light. The light itself is also gold. Remember, gold is a high-frequency metal. I wanted to say the highest frequency, but there are others, aren't there? And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. Maybe it's about 30, 40, 50 feet out. Of course, we're not doing measuring tape stuff here. And now upside down, meeting at base to base, is another golden pyramid, and its point points into the lower golden ball. Now inside of that, you have a crystal ball. The outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your golden pyramid. And inside of that, there you are. Remember, you're in this filament of light. You've got it piercing your entire spine. You're inside a star tetrahedron. That's the three-dimensional Star of David. And when you can see that, remember, there's a golden pyramid on the outside, an octahedron, an eight-sided figure. Inside of that, there's a crystal ball with beautiful, beautiful colors. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, and you're in it. And now start spinning and spinning and spinning in this star tetrahedron. And as you do, look at the screen in front of you on which you're going to put little movies. And the first movie you create, and this is magic, so you're going to do it your way, create a little movie of what it is you really want to become. Since we're talking about being our true nature, enfold that into our little artistry here. Yes, let's see who you want to become. I always see myself as being true to myself and multidimensional. And coming from the heart, which is really important. Okay, now move from that. Wrap it in light when you get the sense of who you are and what you want to become. And let's move to the next one and let's see a project you want to create. What is your project? I'd love to do a bunch of TV shows. So far, it's been a slow process. But I keep being told, just be patient and keep going. Do what you need to do. I love to do more writing, and I see a lot of other little projects. What do you see in your mind's eye that you can put on this beautiful little film of all the resources coming together, the time, the place, the people, the moolah, the equipment, whatever is required? You can be doing home and family. You can be doing a house, you can be doing a business, writing a book, building a car, who cares? Whatever it is you want to do, it's your dream. See all the pieces coming together, and then you're so happy because it's so successful. And then what happens next is we see all of the pieces coming together, the resources that are required to sustain this image. See the money, the people, the time, the place. Isn't it fun because it looks so secure and so unfolding, so able to meet up the demands of the time? And wrap that in light. And let's open the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center is a magical place. We see our healing table, and we're seeing our healing team. We each have beings of light and truth, consciousness and love, that work with us, and they can bring in higher realms as well. See this team with their higher realms, circle around the table, and you yourself flop on that table, leap up there and love it, and lie on the table and either ask for what it is you need, okay, or have them tell you what it is you could use, and then see what they do. Okay, and you can see it and feel it. Excellent. And it's different for everybody. Sometimes you can see who the healing team is, who those beings are, what do they look like, what do they use on you, how do you feel when they're working on you. Now wrap that in light and move it away. Remember, it's magic, so the team can replicate themselves. When you move it away, that healing can continue. But let's bring in someone else that needs healing. Okay? And who is it you'd like to bring in? You can choose. Okay? And that's it. And ask them for advice on this being. Obviously, I'm going to do some work on my dad. And remember that healing isn't always about living. Healing is always about improving the dissonances deep within our being. And sometimes that might mean we die or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean we just simply get better and leap up like Lazarus on his deathbed. Do you remember that? That biblical story? Lazarus, that's what it was. All right. Let's see what they do for your person who needs help. Okay, just keep going and see what happens. I'm seeing them run very bright lights through his body, mind. Helping him to find tremendous peace. And we're going to wrap that scenario in light and move it to the right. We can move it to the left if you want to. Bring in another table and bring in someone else that needs healing. Okay. I'm finding a woman who is absolutely choked off inside. I don't know this woman, but she's absolutely choked off inside. She has so many reasons that she's defended herself. She's not allowed to be herself. She has a stomachache. She seems to take a lot of prescription drug of some kind. I think it might be Effexor or something. And eats terribly badly. But what it's almost like she has contained within her so many judgments and self-criticism and fears and so on that she's got tremendous body pain. Have you met anybody like that? Oh my, she's so uncomfortable, but she thinks she's behaving well and that she's right and this is how to live. So the team is working with her and they immediately start working on her brain and her brain pattern. And they're also pulling a great number of energies out of her belly area. What's happening with your person? Belly area, as you know, houses the subconscious and karma and everything left over. Leftovers, and also the brain and the belly work in harmony one with the other, don't they? Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is pulling out huge streams of energy that's all clogging up in the passages that should be flowing throughout her entire body. So they're pulling all of these streams of clogging energies out of her body. It's fascinating, actually. Very etheric healing. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the right. And now we're going to do some political healing. What should we pick here? Some kind of politics that we're thinking about. Let's bring in our the debt ceiling. And I tell you the honest truth, I have not kept up with that, nor have I kept up with what's going on in England with all the riots that are going on, the lack of justice. But anyway, we'll pick the debt ceiling, discussions in Congress and the political hoo-ha that's going on, because as you and I know, nobody really knows quite what's going on, and it seems like it's really difficult for people in power to hear each other. So we're going to put that on the table, the whole situation. And I would say that we want to work on, we're asking the healing team to work on the entire group of it. It's like, I see it like a great big knotted fishing line. And they're working on being to help them release that, the defensiveness within and the confusion between defensiveness and ambition and overwhelm and personal success is like knots in the flow, isn't it? And if we could see, if we could absolutely imagine the team, the healing team working with people to help them ease up and become truly who they are with a compassion for all of life, because I believe that that is a truth in people at some deep level, then maybe our fights and disagreements would be a little different. The prime motivation being a win-win rather than a blaming kind of situation. So let's just see the healing team working on all of these key figures and helping them find the truth of a win-win life on the planet. Now we're going to wrap all of them in light. And see them reach for the higher. And now let's do our other kind of healing work where we call in the healing team and all of the realms of beings, consciousness layer after consciousness layer that emanate way out into the universes. And knowing that we're surrounded as we are, let's call in that really high, high frequency, salmony pink light of harmony, of love, and of healing, and have it flow in through the top of your head and down through into your heart, roll around in the heart and surge out through your arms and your hands. And you imagine touching some of the more difficult spots on the planet. We can go right to England and the riots. We can go right into the government and debt ceiling, and we could go to all the different countries that are having wars, that are having inequities of any type, that are short of food, that are people are very sick, where there's so many trials and tribulations and dominances. Let's just flood all these areas with this light, and also the animals and the Gulf and Japan. I don't need to list them all. You probably have a longer litany than I do. So let's just flood these places with our compassionate light and that truth that we can call in high-frequency energies from the universe, from the universes, and apply those directly to lift the frequencies in various places of need, including ourselves. And I'll send those lights round and round and round the planet until the planet is just swaddled in this amazing high-frequency harmonizing light, and have it come around and up through the hands, the arms, the shoulders, the neck, fill your heart, shoot up through the top of your head and go out into the great central sun. And now you close off the healing center. Pop into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin until we're back in this room together. How about this? In these many rooms together all over the world. Hi, you going to call in and talk to me about what's going on in your world? It's kind of a crazy time. I've heard that August is supposed to be tumultuous for a lot of people, a lot of life and death struggles. And as a part of the shift, we're learning that we have to move some of the old congestions and old reactions in ourselves in order to make room for a new society. How are you doing with that? What's going on in your work world, your home world, call in and talk to me about it, and we'll talk to the guides and angels. We're at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I'd love to have your calls. Deb O'Connor is going to be calling us in at the bottom of the hour at 7:30. So either you call or I'm going to call on you. Now, there's a lady here who's gotten, this is interesting. She is getting older. She's in her late 50s right now, and her legs are very stiff, and her ankles are swollen, and she walks in a very kind of a stiff fashion, and it's because she's holding herself together. I can feel it. There's little aches and pains, and she's holding herself together. Now, what does that mean to us all? It means that we've held a rigid posture, trying to be right, trying to be appropriate, trying to be safe in a world that literally is not always safe, is it? And that I feel like this woman's defense is such a great example of how in a state of defense, we actually cause tremendous problems for our well-being. I know that we have to defend ourselves sometimes, but I look at her and I go, you've got aches and pains in your, you've got arthritic joints developing, but there's such stiffness in the limbs. So let's just take some violet fire or take some violet flame. I want all of you to think about this for a minute. Take some violet flame and have it surge round and round your room, and now move it up the soles of your feet. And we're doing that especially for our lady who's got such stiff, sore legs and feet. But I'm saying to you, my dear lady friend there, that it's that you're holding yourself in this defended position so much. Your digestion is poor. And you can do a lot by releasing the patterns of self-protection you learned as a child. That means that you drop into your body and ask your body to reveal to you all the ways in which you're holding because of the need for self-protection. And when we do that and we exaggerate it and we exaggerate it over and over again, then command total release of that energy now, total release. And again, we'll run the violet flame up through your feet and have the violet flame surge through, burn and burn and burn through your legs. That's it. Up and down through your legs, squeegee. Already, they're softer. You feel that? Move your feet. Look at your ankles. Don't they feel a little bit softer? Move that violet flame all the way up through your body and shoot it out through the top of your head. You can always bring it back down and burn and burn and burn your body's reactions, your reactions that you've stored in your body over and over again, and I promise you, you will feel lighter and freer. This is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love talking to you here on Radiance by Design. And very shortly, we're going to get a call in from Deb O'Connor. If you're on the line, Deb, talk to me now so I know you're there. And Deb is a little whiz-bang astrologer, and she's also quite the artist, quite the poet, quite an editor, and is very lyrical conversation. So I'm hoping that you're going to call in soon, Deb. In the meantime, I'm looking at other people to see what on earth's going on. Are you able to be really true to yourself? What are your fears? Okay, so I'm seeing a young girl who is very nervous.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. I didn't hear you.
It's okay. Go ahead and keep going.
Nah, we'll talk about the young girl later. She's probably a... She's probably with bated breath wondering what the full moon is about.
The full moon, you've pretty well described it. It just all that you were saying at the beginning of the show before you went into the meditation was beautiful and perfect about the need for us to realize that we keep saying this, but we just get this one Aquarius full moon every year, and it's so much about the whole thing that we are in this together, and that the degree to which each one of us can really, really be true to our own nature and be what we are and what we feel the most deeply inside, the degree to which we do that is the degree to which the whole community becomes more healthy. You know, it sounds like a no-brainer, but it'll be really fun for everyone to feel this and feel things mirrored to them on the weekend that will really make it clear that it's not just a philosophy, it's an actual fact of physics.
Happening.
The moon is going to be, the moon's going to be completely full right at noon on the West Coast. It'll be right around 1 o'clock here in the Rocky Mountains, and you know, in the Midwest it'll be about 2 o'clock, and in the East it'll be about 3 o'clock. But it's a Saturday afternoon full moon, and the sun is still going to be in Leo, bringing all of its light onto this Aquarian moon. And what interests me always about the full moons is that there are two energies working together that are wanting us to sense where we might fall into the shadows of either one of them, and kind of what the highest expression of those energies would be, too. You know, it's almost like we become aware of the fact that with Leo, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our own drama that we feel like our drama is the drama. Mm. And when there's an Aquarian moon on the other side of this light, that Leo light going on into Aquarius, it reminds us that, in fact, we are surrounded by a community of people where everybody is feeling the drama. I mean, really, you know, you and I both work with people every day, and you realize that none of us are alone in this wild ride that we're experiencing right now. So,
well, tell me this.
We're all carrying something.
Isn't isn't Aquarian also a really good inventive consciousness?
Aquarius is always saying to us, find an alternative way. So allow yourself to open to something that you've never experienced before, that you couldn't even imagine if you tried. And the Leo energy can be, you know, sometimes Leo is talked about as the king-queen energy, the energy of the regal or the monarchy sort of, which there's so much beauty in Leo that I want to make sure that no one hears me saying anything about Leo that's wholly negative. It's just that every single sign has something about it that we could do better. But the beauty in Leo is that it's playful and creative and loyal and fiery and passionate, but it can tend to get self-involved. And you know, we all need to be a little bit self-involved because for a lot of us, there's a lot of guilt around feeling like we even have the right to be self-involved. But when there's a full moon between Leo and Aquarius, we're asked to see that we're not alone in this. Aquarius says, I'm all about the communal, the level playing field. You're all in this together. Everybody's carrying the weight together. And it also says, so you've got to be who you are. And then, as you said, Aquarius is all about unexpected and beautiful visionary change. Just basically throw out the conventions. And so I think a little bit, if you look at this on the national level or the international. What?
And it's called the shift, eh?
Yeah, the shift. And when we get into the transpersonal, pull ourselves up just a little bit out of the personal piece of it, you know, sometimes I think it's easier to look at the larger transpersonal piece because it can be this sort of big metaphor for what's going on with each of us individually. But at that transpersonal level, we're looking at all sorts of dynasties, you know, these Leo monarchy dynasty things, including our own government, which are being completely challenged by the Aquarian desire for authentic, individuated, alternative vision that makes it so that everybody is able to thrive instead of just the few in the sort of monarchies. You know, I'm just talking metaphorically, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've been thinking of the oligarchy, actually.
Well, it is the oligarchy. It is. It's whatever senses itself as the sort of the ruling class.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, when Leo gets shadowy and really acts out, it's all about a sense of entitlement. So I know one of the things that I've been noticing in my own sphere and in some of my clients is the sense of people around us who tend to act out with that sense of entitlement. You know, I have the right to fill in the blank. When in fact they've forgotten that we all have rights, and we need to be conscious of each other's rights. And what we really have a right to is equality and justice for all. And then you think about the inner, those inner archetypes. Which part of our own inner dialogue is saying, but I have the right to this. Mm-hmm. This is my right by God. And then the other part of us, the accordion part that's saying, well, but why don't we look at this differently? Let's find a new way to think about this. And I always like to say over and over and over, it's so important to remember that there are things, what we want to in our re-envisioning, in our shifting of consciousness, mm-hmm. what we're looking for is any opening into something that we've never experienced before. Oh, that's the shift, don't you think? And that's Aquarius.
But I think also to be driven by our real nature, our authentic nature, rather than what the consensus has decreed or suggested or whatever over time.
And that's just the thing. In order to be that authentic, all of us are encountering parts of ourselves that we've had so buried, we don't even realize they're there, and so they feel like something we haven't encountered before.
So during the full moon, does the full moon help our reflect upon the subconscious hiding places? Does it help open that?
Well,
is it going to help us wake up?
Yeah, I mean, what's really doing that is the Pluto, the Pluto square Uranus. That's just a daily exercise in awakening what's in the subconscious is constant. But you know, I mean,
that's going on for a long time.
That's going on all the way till 2023, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't diminish the power of it. It's really intense, and it just gets more intense every day. But this full moon is a little bit more complicated than what I'm describing, because the sun in Leo, which is reflecting this light, sending the light out, is bookended by Venus, which is all about our sense of kindness and the feminine, the yin. And on the other side of the sun is a retrograde Mercury. And those three planets are sending their energy over to the moon in Aquarius, which is coupled up with the planet Neptune, which is so much about the cosmic heart and our capacity for sort of universal unconditional love. And right next to that is Chiron, the wound and the healing. Mm-hmm. So you can see there are six planets involved in this full moon, not just the two. And it's more information than I should probably try to hand out right now, because I know there are probably people wanting to talk to you.
But the thing I want to say is, does it not make us feel like it's a little complex right now? Sudden changes, the unexpected.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People
I mean, and not only
through.
That, but there's a... Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
Well, there's such a... With Chiron and Neptune, which have been coupled up in the sky for a couple of years now, with this full moon landing right on top of them, they've been working really hard, this pair, Chiron and Neptune, to help us to understand that this thing that I said at the beginning, I just didn't attach it to them, that we have to become authentic, we have to become real, because the only way the communal and the can be healed, the only way communities could get healthier is if each one of us is a healthy individual. If we're individuated, we're expressing what only we can express. And so we're wounded there. But there's also a tremendous amount of healing there. And a big part of this, because Neptune's involved, is a phenomenal amount of surrender is required here in order to heal our own sense of the authentic so that we can create these stronger communities.
The surrender allows that our more authentic nature can rise through all the systems that we've embodied, right?
Yeah, because Chiron right there with it makes us feel the wound, which is, oh, my God, if I'm really who I am, what will people think of me? I've been wounded before if I tried to be who I was, and I've been, you know, a lot of Aquarius, you know, one of the things that happens to Aquarius that hurts like crazy is that we feel alienated, and we feel marginalized, and we feel like we don't have a tribe. Mm-hmm. And the great paradox in all this is that the reason we feel like we don't have a tribe is because we're so busy trying to fit into the wrong tribe. And that's both the wound and the healing of the wound. And the moon is going to be sitting right on top of this particular point on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night.
So does that mean we're going to feel better or worse by Saturday night?
It depends upon how, I don't know, I guess it depends on how much we're willing to open to what we really are and not be afraid that somebody's going to throw us out and, or you know, and also to be really clear about where we fit and where we don't and maybe stop trying to fit on somebody else's glove.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like it is the surrender, isn't it? Giving up what our attachment to belonging is, what it looks like, and let yourself emerge
exactly.
as belonging to a different
right.
community, perhaps, or community differently, or something. What's your
and knowing that the community? Excuse me.
What's your what? No, go ahead. Knowing what?
I was saying, and knowing that the community that we want to belong to is the Neptune community, which is a community of spirit, which means there's no way to be alienated from that because we are that. You know, this is really kind of a complicated moon. But it's also a really beautiful moon because there's so much healing in it with the moon landing right on top of Neptune and Chiron. They're all involved in this opposition. So we have to feel where we felt alienated and where we felt like we just don't fit. And like you told me a long, long, long time ago about family, why would you want to feel like you belong in this family anyway? If you felt, and these are your words to me, decades ago, if you really, I mean, and this is for all of us, if we really, where we're trying to fit in still, those places where we're still trying to fit in, do we really want to fit in there? I mean, what would happen to us if we did fit in there? We wouldn't be moving as fast or, you know, shifting as quickly or, you know.
Well, once
so
again,
we
would be running programs that weren't necessarily our authentic nature, right?
Right. And the fact is, we'd be trying to run those programs, but we can't run them because they're not our authentic nature. So then we just feel discombobulated and confused and again, like we're just aliens. And the only thing we're alien from is our own true deep self when we do this.
Which is the greatest... My intention is to be in truth with myself before I cross over.
Right. Yeah, me too.
And I guess that's part of the shift as well, is we could possibly be a species that lives that way, eh?
I think so. I think we're doing it right now.
Well,
and
I'm on
with a full moon.
Mm-hmm. I'm on about that. And when you said what was it you said about spirituality? Is that with Neptune, it's not about belonging. There's no place to not belong because it's being in your spiritual nature. That's
right.
It?
Yeah, because Neptune, as an archetype, is the archetype for the divine heart. In other words, the core of loving-kindness. That's what Neptune represents. Astrologers like to talk about it as being an energy which is confused. And it's not so much confused as it is boundaryless. And so sometimes if we're trying really hard to fit into a 3D, grounded, logical framework, Neptune doesn't fit there because it doesn't have any boundaries and it doesn't have any sense of material, the material plane, because it's of the ethereal. It's the crown chakra and up. It's when you go 2 miles up and put the great gold ball up there, you're working with the heart of the divine. And so if Chiron is right here, Chiron, the wound and the healing of the wound, is merged with Neptune, then we just, day after day after day, for a couple of years now, and for a couple more years, we're all being spoon-fed experiences that make us feel the old wound to our individuality and simultaneously are trying to remind us that that our individuality resides in the light body, not in the human body. I mean, and then the human has to follow the lead of the ka body or the light body or however you want to. We're already that light. We aren't alien at all. It's just the human
form. But it's bringing it into our physical dimension.
Yeah, it's bringing it into our physical awareness, too.
Yeah. And in our community consciousness.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is very exciting.
I think it is. I mean, because I think we're getting hits at both the human and the divine level with this Neptune piece. That you know how the human body is an expression of our own unique way of being this divine light fractal. And so every one of us is getting a lot of support right now around the fact that you can be completely unique in your human expression because you're all the same light. So just go right ahead. Be unique. Nothing. You can't not be in community. The more unique you get, you know, the more real you become. We become. The more we feel the resonance with the spirit, with the source energy.
I love that. So we're going to have to get you to give your website so people can find you, track you down, and learn more about themselves.
My website is lovedogdesign.com. All those words are spelled just as you would think they would be, lovedogdesign.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deb. This was wonderful, and you've got me kind of feeling more balanced with the etheric in my physical right now. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
I look
forward
to it.
We just have to remember what we are. Yeah, and many blessings to you. I'm thinking of you and your dad.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Blessings, yes. So that was a delightful, literally delightful, movement through what's going on in the skies right now. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? I often think when Deb talks about Neptune and it's the higher love, I just really love that can flow through the entire consciousness. Excuse me. So I started to say before that we have this young girl who is very nervous, and we're talking about being in your authentic nature. And the reason she's nervous is she's very, very sensitive, and she feels, I can see her, she's got these amazing, I think you have long legs, or at least you have thin legs, and you're really pretty, but you don't feel strong on the planet. You feel sort of tremulous and really not able to engage in the third dimensional passion. I feel like your nervousness or tension is because you feel that you are too sensitive. You feel that you can't manage on the planet the way some tougher people do. You feel that you're rejectable, and it's like your skin is extremely sensitive from, you know, that feeling inside when your nervous system is too finally, it needs to be tuned, and it's just sort of aching to be tuned, and your skin gets this really amazing sensitivity to it. It's very uncomfortable. It feels a little bit akin to heat, but it's more like a nervous or a, it's just a high-frequency sensitivity all over. I want to say to you, darling, that one of your greatest gifts is your extreme sensitivity, and it's very, very important. I look at your inner journey and your soul's journey. You're creative. You could probably be a dancer or an artist or a teacher, or someone who brings empathy and joy to people who are trying to extricate themselves from the reactions that they've been trained by. And I want to say one of the greatest ways to help yourself, first of all, is to recognize that your sensitivity is your gift. That's a huge jump for you right now. Instead of it being the bane of your existence, take yourself a lot of B vitamins and so on. Make sure you eat lots and lots of veggies or drink green juices and so on, because that works right directly. I see that you need more magnesium. It works directly with your central nervous system. And you're like a very finely tunable instrument. You're not finely tuned right now. And I want to say that in a while, you have the ability to laugh and play and sing. I want you to explore the use of color as a dynamic tool for understanding people. There's some kind of color counseling that you're going to be able to do to really get people in their light, literally, because you have that. If you look inside yourself, and many of you can do this, if you look inside yourself, you will see certain colors representing how you feel at any given time. Anyway, we're going back to this young lady who's got this incredible sensitivity and running some violet fire through her body, mind. Well, the violet, I'll call it the violet flame. The violet flame is going up through the soles of your feet. Others of you could feel this as well. And burning up all the leftover thoughts and feelings of reaction that have been recorded in your body, mind. Because it's the differences between what you really are and what you've been told you are, and your fear about what you are. All of those things are like rattling. And when Deb was talking about the increasing sensitivity out there and so on, it's that rattling inside at the nervous system level that keeps you uneasy and feeling fragile and weak. And I want to say, let's, again, run the violet flame up through your legs, all the way up through your body. And when you do this, everybody, you want to do it very, very slowly and have it, you make sure that you can feel all the places where it burns up dissonance, all the leftover thoughts and feelings of reaction. Have it go up through your neck, pop up, swirl around inside your head, and then pop up through the top of your head out into the great central sun. Because I promise you, dear young lady, you artistic little character, you, that you don't have to be full of indecision about yourself. You can start really honoring the fact that you are highly sensitive, high-frequency, artistic soul who has a great deal of service to give. It's lovely. So some of you have got a little bit of time. We started late, so you've got time to call in with your questions about what's going on in your life. But I don't know what the numbers are, but you can get it off the front of your screen. I want you to call in. Otherwise, I'll have to find you without you being present and without you acknowledging. Here's the number, 888-627-6008. Hi, you're on the air with me.
Hi, Veronica, it's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good, I'm glad to hear your voice, and I was going to talk to you about the fact I wasn't on last week, but you know what's going on, it's my father, you know.
Uh-huh. I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I had a family situation, but I'm so glad to hear from you, so let's talk.
Well, yeah, I don't think I have a specific question. I just wondered if you had any information from my guides.
One of the things I'm seeing right away, and it's relevant to the woman I was speaking about before, is you have a tremendous amount of purple light in you. Do you know that?
It doesn't surprise me.
And it's a soft, you're incorporating a great deal of light in this lifetime. You have this purple light that's running through you, and I just think it's precious. And what they're saying is that you're going to go through, wait a sec, do you have a little body pain going on back, sacrum area, back?
Yeah, a little, yeah.
You're going to have some body work?
Oh, hopefully.
Okay, I want you to do, at the very worst, some stretching. You're going to have a few more changes. You've made some changes already, right? You're going to have a few more changes to do. And then you should be lifted very soon into a bigger solution. There's a job for you. There's a better job than what you've been doing. And in that job, there's a way. Now, Deb was talking about community, and I know Jaya, everybody at home, a little bit anyway. And you have a really big sense of community. You know that.
Yes.
And you have a job coming up which doesn't pay much at the beginning, but then it emerges. It's got some kind of organizational aspect in a kind of a healing community. Not that you'll just be doing healing work, but you seem to gather in the people. And there is money and there is a place available. And you'll go off the continent and back on again. And it seems to be happening fairly soon. Because of some of the people you know. You know a number of people who are in, what would we call it, dire straits or in difficulty in maintaining the old way of being secure?
There's
tremendous resources in and amongst them, in the mind and the heart and the potential for money and somebody who creates, people who actually create things. I don't know whether they're making clothes or cloth things or something. And there's something about combining forces and having this kind of multifaceted little healing community which supports itself. It's a bit of a co-op, actually. You have that.
And is it happening here in California?
Yeah, I believe it is. But it's got ties to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
It's got both. I see both places. And I see you working it in California with some of the people you know and then stringing it over there and creating an auxiliary company connection. And you and I know this. The kind of people we know, and Deb was talking about how with Neptune we're all kind of connected in the spiritual flow. The kind of people we know are probably going to, the kind that would participate in such a thing, whether they're living in Timbuktu or Alaska or wherever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got some kind of community job coming.
Yeah, I think the problem for most of us is funding.
Yeah. Well, you have a funder. You have a woman near you who's got some access to funding, grant writing, funding. I see two steps, hers and then somebody behind her. And there is the possibility of grounding these ideas fairly swiftly. She may have a direct connection to someone who's got money. I don't need somebody who's got offshore investments. I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking more of somebody who has money. But it's got to look like a viable project. So who is it you know who's a woman who, she might even be a bit young, but she's quite idealistic and she has a very strong heart. We have another caller, but does that help a little bit, Jaya?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Keep me posted. We'll talk. Maybe we'll have a chat over the weekend.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bless you.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you. Good evening. We're on the air.
Hi, this is Doug, and I have a feeling that there are changes coming up in my life, and I'm wondering if you are seeing anything that might help me become aware of it.
Well, it's funny. You've been stepping back from yourself for a long time. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
And are you very single?
Yes.
Here's what I'm seeing right off the bat, is that there's a split in you, and this is not an unusual split, Doug, between who you really are and how you defend yourself in the world. People can't really get close to you for some reason, and yet what's coming up is a really wonderful coming together in your own heart, which is going to involve other people. So it's like, I don't know if you're going to fall in love as much as you're going to start participating in something with probably three other people. And you're going to feel that your heart is stepping forward in it. And I want to say to you, your tendency is to hold back and to step back and become kind of neutral or unavailable or shy or all these different things. But I'm saying don't do that, because it's time for you to step into a little tiny Millie and do some wonderful soul-searching work. Do you sing?
No.
Okay. What do you do?
Well, right now I am retired. But I have been in theater.
Oh,
actor, director.
Good.
Also a counselor in the area of chemical dependency. I have felt for a long time that I am a healer.
I do too.
But I've never done anything very overtly about that.
What is a healer? It's kind of an interesting subject, and it's too late for us to really investigate it. But I see you coming forward in the heart, in the area of expression and expansion, and being in a small consortium of people where you will be making a difference with each other and with other people. And it may be, for example, you can do healing through theater. You know that.
Yes.
But there's something about your vocals, there's something about your heart and your chest that is going to make a big difference in the lives of other people. So something's changing really radically. You'll step forward and be just blown away by yourself, but not just yourself. There's a little group of people. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm happy to hear that. And what you said about me specifically, I can relate to as being right on.
Well, and just keep praying that your front and center, well, if you're a performer, actor, and director and all those things, you know what it's like to come and embody the spirit of yourself and your presentation. That's your job right now, and it'll take you to a new job. Thank you for your call. I have to go because I'm overdue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug.
Bye.
Best to you. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Thank you for your calls. Thank you to Deb O'Connor for helping us flow through some of these crazy changes and see how they link to our spirit selves. And if you'd like to be in touch with me, have a session with me, a healing session or a counseling session, or if you want to talk about some of my guests on Paradigm Shifters Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock and what you've learned or what you'd like to learn or who you'd like to hear from or anything that you want to write to me about, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, no H in Entwistle. Jackie is recovering. She and the team are going to be back next week. Tonight will be a rerun show, and she's recovering nicely from the surgery that kind of took her down for a few weeks. So she's emerging next Thursday night at 8 o'clock, but stay tuned for one of her older shows right after this. They're always a pleasure, and her team is always wonderful. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. Take a deep breath, and let's breathe blessings out to one another all over the world. Good night, everyone.